Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's summer solstice in Pongnuttung on Baffin Island, Nunavut, where the sun is up all night. But a group of teenage girls, Micah, Jessie, Lena, Uki, and Micah's little sister, Ayu, notice something weird is going on. They see a polar bear acting very un-bear-like, and a fisherman who seems less than human. Their blood is black. Their skin seems detached from their bodies. They walk in jerky steps with creepy tentacles that squirm out to suck your blood. Are they monsters? Are they aliens? Are they zombies? Whatever they are, they're killing people, and the grown-ups aren't around to help. They're all at an annual dance. But nobody messes with the girls of Peng. So it's up to them to fight back. Slashback is the name of a new alien horror movie set in the Arctic. It interweaves traditional Inuit culture with contemporary genre filmmaking, features a cast of first-time Inuit actors set against the stunning ice, sky, and ocean landscape of Nunavut. Slashback is the work of acclaimed producer, writer, and director Nyla Inukshuk, who is equally well-versed in both the technical and creative sides of filmmaking. And she's the only filmmaker I've ever heard of who has also created a superhero for Marvel Comics. So I give you a pause for that. Slashback opens theatrically this Friday, June 24th, in Toronto and across Canada. And I'm very pleased to have Nyla here in Toronto via Zoom to tell us more about Slashback. Hi, Nyla.
Hi, thanks so much. That was such a beautiful description of the movie.
Well, thanks so much for meeting with me. So most people don't associate Inuit culture with aliens, but that's the genre you chose for your first film. How come?
I think I just grew up loving alien invasion movies. Of course, I love DT. And so when it came to kind of making my first feature and wanting to make something in the style of something like The Goonies, making a movie about aliens just seemed like a lot of fun and something that I was drawn to. Certainly I had adventures with my friends and my brothers up in Nunavut as a kid. Obviously not with aliens, but it was this kind of great and magical place to kind of grow up, and with these stories of awesome monsters and creatures like the Kalupiluit and the Iraq. And so making this movie about these girls taking on a group of aliens was just something that was something that I thought was a cool idea. And then as I was exploring it, I thought that people really responded to it well.
Most horror movies, rather, I've ever seen take place in the dark at midnight. But Slashback is shot in the summer when it's light all the time. So how did you rethink the classic horror movie in a way that challenges the usual cinematic conventions?
Yeah, there were a couple of reasons for that. Like, one, I had shot a movie, a short film, another horror in Nunavut in the wintertime in March, and it was horrible. It was so brutal filming outside in minus 50 degrees. and obviously light is a thing. So I knew right away, just from a practical standpoint, I wanted to be in Peng this summer. I filmed in Peng in the wintertime before it for a documentary, and it was gorgeous. I also got frostbite on my fingertips from holding the camera for like 5 seconds. So going back in the summer, it was really magical to experience for 11 days, there's 24-hour sunlight. So the sun essentially rises up in the sky, and just instead of setting, it just circles around the horizon. And it's essentially magic hour all the time. It's so beautiful. But it's also very remote and a challenge to get to, let alone bring an entire crew. So it was logistically, there was lots to think about, but once we had spent a bit of time there in the summertime, we knew it would be totally worth it.
The oral tradition is an important part of Inuit culture. Were you ever told stories growing up by your parents or by other people? And did you manage to retell any of them in the course of the film in some way?
Yeah, I think like everyone, I grew up, you know, my friends and I playing hide and seek and scaring each other with stories of the boogeyman. Or in the case of Nunavut growing up, we certainly had a couple of creatures that we would refer back to, the Kalupidlui, the Kalupuli. There's different ways of pronouncing it and different variations of the myth, but most communities have it. These women who live underneath the ice and steal children that get too close to the cracks in the ice. Absolutely terrifying, like a lot of the scary stories we grew up with. So that was part of the fun, working with the teenage actors. Sometimes they would come tell stories that they had heard from. I'm thinking specifically of Alexis, whose father told her the story of the Mahaha, and we included that in the script. And Pierre, actually, her dad is. Sorry, I'll say that again. Pierre, her dad, is an actor in the movie for one scene, really out of necessity, because we needed someone. The rest of the time, he was a chaperone and actually helped out in the kitchens. But it was, he told Alexis and her sister the story of the Mahaha. And that really is about this guy that wanders around the Arctic, and he essentially tickles people to death, and they die with this big smile on their face. And so that was something to kind of fun to include in the script that came directly from one of the actors.
You also mentioned, I was trying to write down when I was listening, but something like a Iluk or Ivok, something that inhabits two worlds.
Yeah, these kind of like shape-shifting creatures. And that was also just really came out of, that's another popular myth. But that came out of just hanging out with the teenagers when we were in the script development stage. And they were talking about that mythology, and it was part of a game that some of the kids were playing. And so when it came to the idea of these kids having these strange experiences around town, their first instincts naturally would be to think of these creatures that they've grown up with.
I'm speaking with Nyla Inukshuk, whose new film Slashback opens this Friday. There are a lot of cultural elements that are left explicitly unexplained in the film. For example, the weapons that the girls use, the ulus, harpoons, even what looked like, I don't know, maybe a large whaling spear or knife or something, that are unfamiliar to outsiders, and yet they're still understandable. What's the purpose of including things like this in the film?
Well, we knew we would want to include anything that you saw production design-wise. If it existed in the movie, it's because it existed in Pang first. We didn't bring up any set dressing with us. The only thing that we had sent down, we had some ulus, which are the knives that are kind of like a half circle. And we had some of those shipped down to us to make rubber versions of them made and brought back up. And those were the only products we brought back up with us. Everything else, and in Micah's house was completely empty when we first started, when we got to the community, we had to fill it to make it look like a house that was lived in. And Zosha, our production designer, was just going around town, visiting everyone's house, having tea. And just when she saw something she liked, she was asking them if she could rent it for the summer and keeping it all tallied in her binder. And so when it came to weapons, we knew that it had to be something that would come from the community. This is a whaling town, a fishing town. Everybody is out on the water whenever they can. We were told by one of our drivers that if they saw Beluga, that they wouldn't be able to drive it that day. He'd be out on the boat. And it was this great honor when the Beluga came to town and he didn't go hunting. He actually sent his son out for the first time because he wanted to stay with us and work on the movie. And so it was, hunting is a big part of life in Pang, and going out boating is a big part of daily life. And so, things like these kinds of what they end up using as weapons are in a way just easily accessible, especially if you are the son of or daughter of a hunter.
There's a key scene in Slashback where the girls go to battle against, well, whatever they're fighting, no spoilers, but their faces are adorned with traditional markings. And I noticed that Alethea, who I interviewed way back in 2016 about Angry Inuk, has very similar facial tattoos. I wonder, did she help you with that scene or did that come from her?
Yeah. Alethea actually has her first documentary is called Retracing the Lines, is specifically about the process of Inuit tattoos and traditional women's tattoos, which are full body tattoos, but often can start with tattoos on the face. They're obviously the most visible. And they are something that traditionally girls would have started getting at the age of 13 onwards throughout their life, and can have different meanings and significance based on the person or when they're receiving it. And so we felt like, you know, when it came to writing the script, it was important that there's this shift for the character of Micah, really, that when she decides that this place that she's from, that it's worth fighting for, and that she's going to take this on, that we see this shift. And so that's represented for her in the form of these tattoos. And for each of the girls, when we got to that scene and preparing for that scene with our makeup artist, they all had already had ideas of what, because I think for all Inuit women, young girls growing up, we do imagine what if I got my tattoos, what would I get? And so they had already done all of that thinking on their own, regardless of the movie. So when it came to getting their tattoos, it was a really fun process for them because they got to kind of do it for the day. And we're kind of talking about, you know, I'm going to get these same tattoos when I'm older.
You talk about Micah embracing where she lives and what she's from, but there is a divide in young people between those who embrace the traditional culture, printmaking, language, country food, and others who reject it wholesale in favor of Kentucky Fried Chicken or anything from the South. And that's part of the conflict in the movie. Can you talk about that phenomenon today among young people in Nunavut or in young Inuit people? Young Inuit.
Yeah. I think it's normal for people to want to reject where they're from or things that they might feel ashamed of. And it was really interesting in the process of developing the script, working with these teenagers and seeing how these things impact their lives. And how it impacts their friendship dynamics, because it really does. And certainly for myself, being an Indigenous woman who has gone through this process of trying to figure out who I was as a teenager and as a mixed race person who's both Inuk and white, and how does that kind of fit into this larger identity, and what does that even mean? And then processing any shame that I might carry in my indigeneity or my Inukness. And I certainly felt like when I was working with these young women who ended up acting in the movie, I could see in their language and the way, even just the ways they were acting in certain situations, that they carried this shame as well. which is in, and that it would come through in their language. And so we would have conversations about it because it was just important for us to be having those conversations and really understanding what it means when you say, oh, that's so Inuk, and meaning it in a negative way. And that when we're going to be talking about our indigeneity or our Inukness, that it's so important for us to be only using prideful language. And because when we're all talking together, we all are proud of being Inuk. And but it sometimes things can get in the way that can make it a little bit difficult for us to see what is to be proud of. And some people have a harder time with it. And everyone's journey through that is individual. And so there were lots of conversations about that throughout the process with me and the girls and with Rory, the teenage boy. And it's kind of been this great experience for all of us to be having those conversations, and then seeing now that these teenage actors representing the movie and bringing it to audiences, and Chelsea who was wearing her beaded jewelry that she made herself and introducing the movie to Texas audiences in Inuktitut was just a really wonderful experience.
Well, I think you can all be proud of Slashback. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Nyla Inukshuk's new alien horror movie, Slashback, opens this Friday in Toronto and across Canada. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.